This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry. And our message today is an audio version of a message that was was published back in July of 1998. And this happens to be January of the year 2024. So we're talking about nearly 26 years ago. And as usual, the reason why I give you these dates is because some things that I might say during this message, seeing that I'm reading from the published version, may or may not be relevant today. But I'll let you know if I get to any situation like that. But at the same time, let me say this, when it comes down to the Word of God is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. That means 6,000 years ago, today, and if the world lasts another 6,000 years, it will still be relevant. And those that are exposed to it, let me suggest that you take heed to it and adjust your lives accordingly before it is too late. Now, our message is going to be taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14, and verse number 6. And as I say, this is for the month of July of the year 1998. And we'll find these words recorded. And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The title for this message is All Religions Lead to God. All religions lead to God. Now, sometime back, a friend and brother of mine was telling me how he and another person were talking about religion and how this person had stated that all religions lead to God. He said his response was, no, that is not true. At that point, I told him that the person he was talking to was right. All religions do lead to God. Now, this type of thinking is not new. It is just about as old as mankind is. And then, like now, it's true. However, in the midst of this truth, there is a slight problem, and that is what Jesus Christ had to say in the above scripture. That is what I want to address this month, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Now, there seems to be some conflict between what Jesus said and what I said, but not really. Jesus, you see, is the only way for man to get to God. He is the door, if you will, by which one must enter to get to God. If we go to St. John chapter 10, verses 7 through 9, it says this, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. Talking about all of the prophets and things that come before him, talking about the fact that they were leading the people to God. But he said, but the sheep did not hear them. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. So, as you see, Jesus is the door, the only door, that leads to the blessings of God and salvation. But what about all of those other religions that claim to lead to God? Well, for one thing, like you just heard Jesus say, all that came before him were thieves and robbers. But let's go on and see why he's saying that. Now, you might be saying to me, preacher, you aren't making any sense. Well, try this on for size. I told you that all religions lead to God, and that is true. However, the problem is that unless you actually are able to live, die, and see the end result of what these religions is, then come back to life again and again, you don't have but one chance to get it right. Pick any other religion you want: Islam, Buddha, Hare Krishna, Unification Church, Jehovah's Witness, Taoism, you name it. See, Unification Church and Hare Krishna are religions that were kind of well known back when this tract was written. They aren't that well known today. That's why I told you the relevancy of certain things may or may not be relevant today. Those things are basically kind of faded out. So that's why I'm just letting you know about those two religions. Now, all of them are, for the most part, good religions. However, they all have one thing in common, and that is their total or partial rejection of Jesus Christ and his deity. Without going into much detail, many of them accept the fact that a man named Jesus did live about 2,000 years ago. Some of them say he was a good man. Others say he was a good teacher. Still others say he was a prophet. Some say he was a combination of both. Another religion denies that he was a man, but says he was an angel. So you see, many of them acknowledge Jesus, but they all reject the one thing that Jesus is. And if you notice, I am deliberately using the present tense. And that one thing is what sets Christianity apart from all other religious folks. Not only was Jesus a good man, prophet, and teacher, he is God. Go to St. John chapter number 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now stay in that same chapter and go down to verse number 14. And we find these recorded. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, the emphasized parts of these those scriptures that I want you to take a look at. First, we see that in the beginning was the Word. Then we see that the Word was God. So from that, we can come up to the conclusion that the Word was and is God. That's past tense and present tense. It's relevant before the creation. It's relevant today that the Word was and is God. Then the next thing we see is that the Word, God, became flesh, man, and dwelt among us. Therefore, we can deduce again that God came and dwelt among us as a man. That man is named Jesus the Christ. Christianity, which has been misnamed a religion, it is actually a relationship with God, has as its basic belief what a man named Peter said about Christ. Go to Matthew chapter 16, and we're going to start reading from verses 13 down through 18. And we find these words: when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. In other words, like I told you, some religions say that Jesus was a good man, or he was a good prophet, or a good teacher, or something like that. Then he saith unto them, "But whom say you that I am?" And Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, once again, notice what I would call the emphasized parts. First, Jesus asks a question of his disciples, and they, like so many religions, began to say he was just a great person or a prophet or something along that line. Then he asks them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter comes forth with the bedrock of the church, which is, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That is what put Christianity in a class all by itself. In fact, Jesus went on to say, "And upon this rock I will build my church." The rock is referring to the statement that was made by Peter, that "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." It is not referring to the fact that Peter is the one that Jesus is going to build his church on. Some Christians erroneously believe that. And give reference to what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about the Catholic Church. They basically build their whole idea of the church being founded on the fact of Peter being the rock or the foundation of that church, which is why they evidently don't really pray to Jesus. They pray to the saints and everything else, and pray to Peter and stuff, as if Peter can do anything or any of the other saints can do anything for them when it comes to getting to God. But let me go on here. As I mentioned earlier, you could get to God through any religion if you were able to die and come back to life again and again. Then, after you saw the end result of each, you would finally make the right choice, Jesus. Or maybe if you just died once and went to hell and saw what other religions are there, and then saw that the only ones that were in heaven were Christians, then you could come back and choose Jesus and be saved. But as I said, you only have one chance to get it right. Blow it, and it's all over. Many of you say that you pray to God every day in your own religion or in your own way. Do you know what that is like doing? It is like this. My phone number, for instance, is area code 313-ABCDEFG. As long as you dial this number, no matter where you are in this nation, you will get my house. However, there are millions of other numbers that can be reached by you, but they will not be in my house. You can't get me by dialing 313-ABCDEFF or any other combination of numbers, or in this case letters, you know, but you get the point. It has to be 313-ABCDEFG. Now, in the case of reaching God through prayer, God has given us a special name or number, if you will, to gain access to him. That number is Jesus Christ. That is the only number that puts you in touch with him. You can use Buddha, Krishna, Muhammad, or any other names or numbers. You can even use Jehovah or some of the other Old Testament names of God if you want. But they will not do you any good. There is only one name, and that is Jesus Christ. Now, one would ask, why would God do this? It is really quite simple. Before Jesus Christ, men referred to God by many different names: Jehovah, Elohim, God of the sun, God of the moon, the God of heaven, the God of Abraham, the Creator, and so on. Others had various other names that they called him. Now, if you are like me, you will answer to those that call you by your name. The only exceptions would be those who don't know your name. And at some point, you will tell them your name so that they can call you by that name. And if they refuse to do it, then that is a sign of rejection, isn't it? They have rejected your name, so they have rejected you. Well, God, in order to make it plain as to what he wanted us to call him, gave us the name Jesus. And that name is the only name that he will answer to. When Jesus said he is the way, he means he is the only way, not one of the ways. Try as you might, you cannot come to the Father but by him. Take your house, for example. You have many windows and a couple of doors, right? Talking about outside doors. Well, in order for one to be accepted into your house, they usually have to come in the door that you designate for them to come in, right? Usually that is the front door. They come up to it and knock or ring the bell, and if you recognize them, you let them in and all is well. Now let's suppose you see or you hear something and you find out that a person is trying to come in through a window or some other part of the house that they aren't authorized to come in. What do you call them? A thief, robber, burglar, or something else? At that point, you could possibly hurt or kill them and be justified in doing it. All because they didn't come in the right way. It's the same thing with God. Jesus is the door, the only way to get in to God. All others are thieves and robbers. If we go to St. John chapter 10, we're going to read verses 1 and 2. You find these words recorded. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, what makes you think that you can do something with God that you wouldn't allow yourself? In other words, you wouldn't allow people to come to you any type of way or come in your house any type of way except for the way you designate for them to come into, but you're gonna try to come into God any which way you want to get in there. God ain't having it. By Jesus being the door to God, back on the message now, by Jesus being the door to God, it means that Jesus has to first know you in order for you to get into the house or into the kingdom. He is the one that will vouch for you. If he doesn't know you because you are not one of his sheep or saved, then you are not going to get anything from God the Father. Now, people in other religions say that they prayed to God and got their prayers answered. That could be true, but see, they don't know the whole story. Most of the time, if one is seeking to know God better, and they are in another religion, God will send someone to them to tell them the truth so that they can have the opportunity to make a choice. That prayer is one of the few prayers that God will answer due to the fact that, one, the person is truly seeking God, and two, Christians are constantly interceding for them with God, so he will answer these Christians' prayers for those people in other religions. He will answer their prayers on these other people's behalf. Now think about this. Through intercessory prayer, many of us have gotten delivered from drugs, healed miraculously, escaped death at the hands of criminals or accident, and we counted it as good luck. The fact of the matter is, when you don't know God, he really has no strong obligation to do anything for you. However, if you are related to a saved person, or a friend of one, or someone that a Christian may be interceding for, that is how you got your prayers answered. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 30 and 31. You see, we're talking about interceding and intercessory prayer. This is God speaking. He says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up an hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord." Now see, this is a clear example of the fact, well, let's go on. God speaking through his prophet is saying he was seeking a person to intercede for Jerusalem, and no one would do it, so he punished Jerusalem severely for all of their evil. Now, do you think these people weren't praying before things started happening? Meaning the fact that the people were praying when things were starting to go bad, because things were going bad, and some of the people were probably praying for God, or you know, they were starting to see things were going bad, but they were so far away from God, and they were praying to God, and God wouldn't listen to them because their evil was such that he essentially had put a deaf ear to them. But he said if one person would have stood up in the gap, one person that did have God's ear, if they had stood up and prayed for the people of Jerusalem, then the people would have been spared. But no one did it. So as a result, God destroyed the land because of their evil. Now I'm going to interject something here. We can see everything that's going wrong in this country today in 2024 with the crime, with the drugs, with the famines, the this, that, and the other, you name it, all of the stuff that's going on here. And people know it's bad, and a lot of people are praying because they know that something isn't right. But the thing is, many people have gotten so far away from God that God's not going to hear their prayers. He wants someone who is standing upright before him that has his ear for them to intercede for the land. And nobody really is doing it. I mean, we hear preachers all the time, "Lord, bless this country, bless this and other." But see, nobody's talking about repentance. Nobody's addressing sin. See, we want to pray to God to heal the land, but we don't want to admit our wrongdoing. And that's probably what was wrong with the people of Jerusalem back in that time when God made this statement with Ezekiel. So you can see that's the same situation that was happening back then. That's the same thing that's happening to us today. Now, it's like I'm saying, when the people were back then were praying. Now, back to the message, it says, of course they were, but God didn't answer them. It would take someone that could get a prayer through to change his mind, but no one would do it. That's the same way it is with all of you unsaved people. If it weren't for the intercessory prayer of the saints, most of you would have been dead a long time ago. I know now that I sure would have been. If you want to be on the team that God will answer prayers, choose Jesus today. just pray, Lord Jesus, save me, a sinner. I accept you as Lord of my life. I repent of my sin of rejecting you. Come into my heart and cleanse me. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You died on the cross for my sins and rose again for my justification. I will live my life for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now that's all there is to it. If you prayed that prayer from the heart sincerely, meaning every word, you have just gone through the door, Jesus, and now have access to the Father. Not only that, but you have now become his child, and what father wouldn't do everything good for his child? So remember, all religions lead to one conclusion, and that is they all will fail you when you need them the most, and that is when you die. You don't need to go through a trial and error process because you don't have that option. God is waiting on you. What will be your answer to his call? Yes or no? It's up to you, my friend. Well, that's the end of this message, and I hope you got something from it. Like I said, you know, there are many religions out there to try, you know, that you can have a choice of choosing, and you can live your life through and be a good participant in every one of them, follow every rule and everything else that they have set for you to follow. You know, and be a prime example of a good Muslim, Buddhist, Krishna, or Unification Church, or whatever you want to think. You could also be a good Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Episcopalian, you know, whatever else. I'll address that issue as far as the church is concerned in a message when I get to it. It's called No Catholics, There Will Be No Catholics in Heaven. And this is not a swipe at the Catholic Church. This is a swipe at all denominations, because you got many people today that when they are asked, are they born again or are they saved or something, the first thing they say is that they're a Baptist, a Methodist, a Presbyterian, a Lutheran, Episcopalian, Catholic, or whatever. God's not going to accept you on the fact of what denomination you are. He's going to accept you as what are you doing with the name that he prescribed for you to live your life under. Are you understanding? Well, but like I'm saying, you know, a lot of people, like I say, you know, if you could live and die and go through all of these different religions and go and see their end result, then probably then, well, I know you would then, everybody would definitely, if they had any half a lick of sense, would make the right decision and come to God. But you see, as is the case, you don't have that much time. And see, the thing is, God sends people to you to tell you. that these other religions are not going to benefit you anything anywhere near when you need it most, and at most, and that's when you die. So you see, you're getting heads up before you get to that point. But you know, some of y'all hard-headed folks out there, you still want to do your thing your way. But you know, that's just what the problem is going to be, isn't it? You want to do things your way. You don't want to accept Christ. Well, that means you're rejecting God. You reject God, you're going to end up with everybody else that rejects God when the time comes. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre closing out this message saying, may God bless you and your families real good until we come together again for another message. Until then, good day.